Welcome to the Profit Podcast, everything NFL and fantasy football related all year long, with your host, Calvin Wright.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Profit Podcast. How is it going? Week three is officially in the books. I know it sounds crazy, but we just got Monday Night Football. A great matchup between Cooper Rush and Daniel Jones. And then we're on to week four. Season is flying by a lot faster than I know most people want. But this season has been so much fun so far. A lot of craziness. The Jacksonville Jaguars, the Dolphins, the Eagles, those are the best team. I mean, what? What? I don't know. Some shocking stuff going on. And this podcast is here to help you navigate through it on Monday. Just figure out, okay, what actually happened yesterday? We need to go over some of that. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to start things off just talking about this New Orleans-Carolina game, because this had a big fantasy implication. First off, I want to talk about Christian McCaffrey, because this is a little weird. Christian McCaffrey is staying healthy. He's just not producing many fantasy points. That's weird. I mean, what did we all say? If Christian McCaffrey's healthy, he's by far the best running back. Nope. Not right now. Baker Mayfield, for some reason, isn't throwing him the ball a lot. 7 receiving yards last week. Bizarre, bizarre, bizarre. The snap percentage is down, averaging about 85% snaps percentage. Back in the heyday, the snap percentages were, 100%, 95%, 94%. So that's concerning. But what do you do with Christian McCaffrey if you've got him? I mean, 15 points, 16 points, 13 points. Currently the RB10. That's not what you wanted from Christian McCaffrey. And Baker Mayfield doesn't seem to want to throw the ball to Christian McCaffrey a ton. When Christian McCaffrey was succeeding, he was getting 6, 7, 8, sometimes double-digit targets. He's averaging 4.5 targets right now. That's not what we wanted. I am not completely panicked about Christian McCaffrey, if I'm being completely honest. He looks good. He's efficient. He just hasn't had it translate to massive fantasy success yet. But over 100 yards from scrimmage back-to-back weeks, I don't think there's a ton of concern for Christian McCaffrey right now. I think he is a fantastic buy low candidate, though. I think he's a fantastic buy-low candidate. I mean, really, if he had fallen into the end zone either last week or this week, we would not be concerned at all about McCaffrey. He's still efficient. He's getting, 25 carries for a carry. I'm not worried too much about Christian McCaffrey, but I am trying to buy low on him. I mean, Baker Mayfield doesn't look good, but I'm just saying, I think Christian McCaffrey will get this done. They need to fix some stuff in the passing game. DJ Moore, 1 reception for 2 yards. Robbie Anderson, 1 reception for 14 yards. Laviska Shenault had the most yards, 90 and a touchdown. It all came on one play, a 67-yarder. But this pass game is in shambles, and I think the key to success for Carolina, I know they won, but gosh, it was against broken back Jameis. The key to success for this offense is to get McCaffrey more and more and more involved. So not too worried about McCaffrey, but the pass catchers I do worry about. I don't see a route where DJ Moore, 6 targets every game. Just terrible targets. I mean, Baker Mayfield is not throwing the ball well. New Orleans side of the ball, Alvin Kamara. We scared about this. He came back from his time away for the injury and carried the ball 15 times for 61 yards and a fumble for 6 fantasy points. I'm not that concerned about this. I don't think he was fully healthy. He was obviously limited. This game was bad. I mean, the concern would be the Saints' offense, but he did see 7 targets. Only 2 of them turned into catches, but seeing that type of volume through the air is very encouraging for Alvin Kamara, so I'm not completely freaking out, and he's a great buy low as well with 2 bad games and 1 game out for an injury. People are pretty frustrated. The offense looks bad, but the volume, it's going to come. I'm not super worried about Kamara, still averaging over 4 yards a carry on the season. The wide receivers for the Saints, Chris Olave with the breakout game. 9 of 13 for 147 yards, commanding a 33% target share. People say, oh, well, Michael Thomas got hurt. He was still dominating early on in the game. And last week, he had 32% of the target share. I don't think it's the injury that led to all of that. Look, as long as Jameis Winston has been in the NFL, he has chosen a guy and he has hyper-targeted him. It's not usually good for real football, but for fantasy, it's very good. Chris Olave seems to be the guy that Jameis Winston has chosen to hyper-target. And I don't care how good or bad Jameis Winston is, if you're seeing 13 targets a game, you're going to be good. You're going to be good in fantasy football. So Chris Olave was someone that I was saying, buy Chris Olave as soon as you can. He was someone that I advised starting. Only start in 20% of leagues, sadly. But I really do love Chris Olave rest of season. I don't think this is a sell high. Jameis Winston has a history of choosing a guy and just assaulting him with targets. Too soon with Jameis to use the word. Never mind. So I really do like Olave. Michael Thomas, once again, he is what he is. He's going to be touchdown dependent this season, I think. He doesn't seem to be Jameis Winston's go-to guy, except for in the red zone. Now he has his toe injury, likely not serious, but I think that Michael Thomas will be a touchdown-dependent player mostly this season. I really do. And then Jarvis Landry disappeared, and that's about it. So that's how that game went. We talked about Houston-Cleveland after that game happened, but yeah, worried about Najee, worried about everyone. For this Houston-Chicago game, I'm not going to talk about either quarterbacks. I don't want to be put in a bad mood. I mean, horrible quarterbacking from everyone. Wow. Now, who did show up, who was a bright spot, Damian Pierce with a bit of a breakout, 16 points, 4 yards a carry, 20 attempts for 80 yards, and found the end zone. He is a very good running back. He is a very good running back. He will be slightly game script dependent. Just they need to be in games where it's not a blowout for him to get 20 carries. But in these favorable matchups, not even defensively favorable, but in matchups where the offense isn't getting blown out, I like Damian Pierce rest of the season. I really do. He's someone that was profit approved. He's someone that busted week one and week two, but we said, hey, this is encouraging volume. It's going up and up and up. And there's the game where he has the little breakout. So very good from Damian Pierce. Hope you got him on your team. Khalil Herbert, 30 points, burst onto the scene. We saw this last year when David Montgomery got hurt. Khalil Herbert came in and was very good. 19 points, 18 points. He looked very good when Montgomery was out. And when Montgomery came back, we were like, okay, well, maybe it's going to be a timeshare. And it wasn't. But man, 157 yards, 7 a carry, and a 2 touchdowns. Even if Montgomery can come back, which he is day-to-day, there's no way this isn't a timeshare. But what am I doing with both of these guys? I am scared. I don't want much part of this. The offense is disgusting. The only reason they were able to do this is it was against Houston. So it's going to be a bit of a timeshare because Montgomery, I mean, he is still a good running back. Last week, 15 carries for 122 yards. It's not like Montgomery is bad. It's going to be a timeshare on a really, really bad offense with a quarterback who, yeah, 8 completions. I don't want much part in this. Now, I will say they'll probably have a good game next week against the Giants, so maybe you hold on to that, but season long, not super stoked about this timeshare. I did start Herbert by force in one of my leagues, had some bad matchups, some injuries, and I had to flex Herbert, and it paid off. But yeah, wide receivers, bleh. Look, when your quarterbacks are throwing 100 yards a game, it doesn't matter who you are as a receiver, you can't have a very good game. Kansas City, Indianapolis, Kansas City taken down by Indy. Andy Reid always struggles against the Colts, but Matt Ryan, 7 fumbles. How do you have 7 fumbles in 3 games? Doing his best Daniel Jones impersonation. But seriously, how do you fumble the ball 7 times in 3 games? 1-1-1. That is the most Matt Ryan Colts record ever. 1-1-1. That is just weird. Patrick Mahomes, a little disappointing. They had the massive week one, but week two and week three, not so great. Not so great. Now he's got Tampa Bay, a very tough defense coming up. So, I mean, we talked about Mahomes. You shouldn't be spending that early pick on him. He's not worth it. If you got him, obviously starting him, but he just isn't worth that early pick. Jonathan Taylor, outproduced by Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, a beautiful 7 carries for 0 yards. And he landed in the end zone, saved the day, and then 5 catches for 39 yards. 7 carries for 0 yards. We keep saying, hey, sell high on Clyde, but he keeps finding something to get fantasy success. So honestly, not many running backs are doing well. Maybe you just hold on to him. Maybe you just hold on to him. Maybe by necessity, without, you know, the Tyreek Hill, Clyde Edwards-Helaire will have to be involved in the passing game more. It's gross. I don't know how you can have confidence starting Clyde Edwards-Helaire, but as an RB2, I mean, he's exceeding expectations. He's exceeding expectations. Jonathan Taylor, another disappointing game. 27 points week one. Then against Jacksonville, 7 points. Then this week, 12 points. Disappointing weeks from Taylor. Can't really get much going. I mean, 21 attempts, just didn't get anything going. Longest run of the day was 13 yards. It was nice to see him involved in passing game, 5 targets. But you have to be a little concerned about Taylor, since this offense, it can stall out. If it's a 3 and out, you're not going to be able to get more volume. You're not getting those goal line carries. So that is what's concerning for Taylor. But obviously, he's talented. Started off last season a little slow. Honestly, very similarly. You know, last season starts off 17 points, 6 points, 8 points. And then he got things going. So not too concerned about Taylor. Buy low, although no one's going to be selling Jonathan Taylor for a penny. I mean, buying low is kind of stupid when it's someone that good. It's only a buy low if you think, do I really want them? Like Alvin Kamara. You buy low on Alvin Kamara and you're still like, yeah, there's uncertainty there. With Jonathan Taylor, if you bought low, you're like, oh yeah, I won, which means no one's going to do it. Michael Pittman, profit-approved receiver, second week. He didn't play last week, but this week, 9 targets. He seems to be the wide receiver one bona fide. Only 72 yards, didn't find the end zone, but a nice 15 games. That's nice to see him in his return. So we love Michael Pittman. Juju Smith-Schuster finally had a decent game, 13 points. It's the first time in a very long time that Juju Smith-Schuster has done anything fantasy-wise. I'm not buying in on it. I don't really want Juju on my team right now. Kelsey is the wide receiver one on this offense. We all know it. He should have had a massive game, dropped a game winner. But as far as the pass catchers go, Kelsey is the only one that I really want to start week in, week out. Buffalo and Miami, a great game. We got the butt punt, a beautiful play. Tua won, but not a massive fantasy day. Very efficient. I mean, 13 of 18 for 186 and a touchdown. Just he injured his back. It looked like he got concussed. He crumpled onto the ground. But Tua next week against Cincinnati is a decent start, and then the Jets and then Minnesota. So next 3 weeks, I really do like Tua as a starter in fantasy. 13 points, 38 points, 11 points. We've either had bad games or extraordinary games from Tua in fantasy. I think the next few weeks, we're going to see some middle ground, which will be really nice to see from Tua. Josh Allen, even in a loss, got things done fantasy-wise, 23 points. Quarterback 2 on the season right now. Rushed 8 times, 400 passing yards, 2 touchdowns. He's a beast. We all know it. Chase Edmonds. Man, this game pisses me off. This game made me so mad. Last week, I go, Chase Edmonds is going to have a great game, and Tyreek Hill is going to do nothing. And what happens? Chase Edmonds does nothing, and Tyreek Hill scores 40 points. Then 1 week later, Tyreek Hill, 2 catches for 30 yards, and suddenly Chase Edmonds out of nowhere gets 2 touchdowns. Duh! Sometimes I hate fantasy football. Most of the time, actually. But Devin Singletary, I want to talk about him for a second. 11 targets. This is crazy volume for Devin Singletary as a pass catcher. He has never seen anything quite like that. I mean, he usually is three, four targets. I think before this, the most targets he had seen in the game was 7, and that was back in... No, the most he's seen was week 14 of 2019 when he got 8. So this was a really kind of weird game for him. I am probably trying to sell high on this. He hasn't been very efficient this season. They don't run the ball with the running backs a lot. 8 carries, 6 carries, 9 carries. He just saw a weird amount of targets this game. Translates in PPR leagues to 24 fantasy points, but only 1.4 yards a carry. This is the type of game that I'm trying to sell high on. And then Chase Edmonds, what do you do with this? Like, what do you do with this? 6 carries, that's not much involvement. 21 yards, not much involvement. 1 target, not much involvement. But he landed in the end zone twice. It's the same old story that we had with Myles Gaskin. He's going to have good weeks. He's going to finish the season like as a pretty decent running back. But if you try to start him, you will probably want to destroy your team and quit fantasy football altogether. I don't know. I mean, a third of his carries were touchdowns. But how can we not start him? I mean, I don't know. Against the Jets, I'm starting him. Against Cincinnati, I'll bench him. How about that? Jalen Waddle got things done. 102 yards, 15 fantasy points. Tyreek Hill, as we mentioned, did nothing, but you're not benching him. Every once in a while, Tyreek Hill disappears. It's always been that way. It's always been weird, but it happens. So not worried about Hill or anything, but man, I'm just annoyed about about that. Jared Goff, Kirk Cousins, the battle of mediocrity. Cousins beat him, being the more mediocre quarterback. 260 yards, 2 touchdowns. A very solid game from Kirk Cousins. We said start him. He did fine. Nothing crazy, but nothing like last week where he had 7 points. But really, what was disappointing in this game, Dalvin Cook only 12 points, and he got hurt. Adam Thielen, 18. KJ Osborne, 18. Justin Jefferson, 4. In a game where Detroit and Minnesota, 24 to 28 points, the fact that DeAndre Swift busted, Dalvin Cook busted, and Justin Jefferson busted, it's just frustrating. It's just frustrating. DeAndre Swift was playing injured and then got hurt again. Stupid of the Lions to play DeAndre Swift injured. He's your best player. But for a fantasy perspective, this sucks massively. He's expected to miss a couple weeks. Seattle, New England, bye week. If he's ready for New England, I bet they bench him and wait for the bye week to give him that extra week. He then comes back against Dallas and Miami. So I love DeAndre Swift for the rest of the season, but this is just frustrating. He's going to miss 3 games, probably 3 games. Jamal Williams, in absence, he's a great flex, a great running back when Swift is gone. We've seen him put up double-digit points multiple times on the Lions. 2 touchdowns, 4 yards a carry. So with Swift gone, you're obviously starting Jamal Williams. Just sucks for DeAndre Swift owners. Dalvin Cook, another slightly disappointing fantasy game. He ran the ball well, 5.65 a carry, a touchdown, 96 yards, but he fumbled it and dislocated his shoulder. So the fantasy production, even though he ran the ball well, was lacking, and then he got injured, and now it's probably week to week. I bet he'd back against New Orleans, but we don't know for sure. And once again, somewhat like Swift, if he gets re-injured against New Orleans, or just isn't quite right, because they do have a capable run backup in Alexander Mattison. The bye week being week 7 scares me, because let's say he's not quite ready for New Orleans, or he plays a little bit and gets hurt again. Then they will most likely shut him down till after the bye week, just because the bye week is 2 weeks away. And then suddenly we're looking at 1, 2, 3, 4 weeks where you can't start Dalvin Cook. He comes back Arizona, Washington, so nice matchups. And then he gets Jets in Detroit later on in the season, finishes the season with the Giants, nice matchups. But this is just turning into this is just the writing on the wall for a really frustrating, tedious Dalvin Cook season. This is just, I got a bad feeling about this. This is just one of those seasons that just never gets really going. That's what I'm scared about. That's what I'm scared about. This was a smash matchup. Didn't happen. Justin Jefferson, one massive game, two busts. You scared? No, I'm not scared. He's linked to an inconsistent quarterback. He's getting the bulk of the defense's attention. I'm looking for bounce back weeks here against New Orleans, then Chicago, then Miami, which is a lot. So I'm not really concerned with Justin Jefferson. Being linked to Cousins will always cause some inconsistency, though. All right, with Baltimore, New England, Lamar Jackson went off again. My number one overall quarterback preseason is currently the number one overall quarterback. 39 fantasy points. 41 points last week. He's absurd. He is absurd. He threw the ball 218 yards for four touchdowns and then also ran the ball 11 times for 107 yards and a touchdown. Best fantasy quarterback possibly of all time, Lamar Jackson is, if he can keep this up at all. J.K. Dobbins made his return after the ACL tear and averaged 2 yards a carry. So that's gross. Nine touches. I don't know. We're not starting Dobbins yet. Ramondre Stevenson on the other side of the ball. Very nice game. Damian Harris, decent game. This is going to continue to be a slightly frustrating backfield, as always. But I think Ramondre Stevenson has the edge over Harris season long. Then none of Baltimore's receivers really did anything. Mark Andrews was the guy. 89 yards and two touchdowns. He is he's the number one tight end. He's replaced Kelsey as the guy. And New England's wide receivers, Devontae Parker, had a nice game. Started in 3% leagues to the 60 people out there who believed. Congratulations. That's all I'll say. Cincinnati Jets, Joe Flacco. Wow, what a game. Last week he had 25 points, started in 5% leagues, so there were some people who said, I'm going to chase these points. They picked up Joe Flacco. 0 points. The Jets are still the Jets. Now, I will say, probably my number one buy low player is Breece Hall. Michael Carter is still seeing more carries than him, but Breece Hall is more efficient. And week one, 9 targets. Past week one, and then last week, 11 targets. He is definitely more involved as a pass catcher than Michael Carter. I don't know if we'll see a Breece Hall full-fledged breakout this season. I don't know if we'll actually see that. But it is very much in the realm of possibilities. If you're seeing 11 targets a game, that is elite production. 15 points. It hasn't translated to fantasy success yet. But just think about how he's 13, 15 points. That's not bad. And you look at only 7-8 carries. That's great fantasy production for the opportunity. So Breece Hall is someone that I am desperately trying to trade for right now. He is the future in this backfield, I think. Joe Mixon, a disappointing game, 2 yards a carry, no touchdowns, and then he injured his ankle. We just got to monitor what happens with this ankle. It's a quick turnaround against Miami Thursday night, so there's a very great chance that Joe Mixon is out this week. Samaje Perine is a good start if Mixon is out, but just a big blow to this offense. Jamar Chase couldn't get too much done either. Sauce Gardner kind of shut him down. Tyler Boyd and T. Higgins end up having the best games. I'm not chasing the Tyler Boyd points, but T. Higgins, you're not like chasing points, but he's a must start every week. But just a little disappointed from Chase, the massive week one and then two kind of let down weeks. But I'd look for him to get back right. Garrett Wilson, good game, but got injured. So we'll see what happens. Second injury in a row. So that's a little concerning. Vegas, Tennessee. Devontae Adams, just throw him the ball more or throw him better targets. 5 receptions for 36 yards. Come on. Devontae Adams, honestly, he's a good buy low right now, I think. He's found the end zone 3 times in a row. He is a complete machine in the red zone. And the fact that he's a decent wide receiver right now with like 30 yards this past week and 12 before that. If they can get him, you know, 80 yards, he's going to be a wide receiver, you know, top three guy. So he's someone I'm buying low on. They've got some favorable matchups coming up. I do like Devontae Adams rest of the season, but I'm not expecting that Green Bay Packers vintage Adams. Hollins came up big to the 2% of people who started him on sleeper, 29 points. I'm not chasing those points. Darren Waller did nothing. This was just a gross game for starters for Vegas. Derrick Henry finally got things back together, 25 points. The passing game finally worked. They got Robert Woods involved. I was disappointed that they didn't get the ball to Trey Burks more. He's a really good receiver. I wish they would just throw him the ball a little more. Half the time when they throw him the ball, it's a terrible pass. But I really think this offense being good hinges on getting Treylon Burks involved more. But that was good to see Derrick Henry get kind of back to what we know and love. And six targets, that is really encouraging. That matches last season's most targets in a game. In 2020, he didn't have six targets in a single game. So I think that actually ties his career high for targets in a game. So that is great to see. Philadelphia, Washington, Jalen Hurts continues to roll, number three overall quarterback. He is a must start against Jacksonville. He should have a great game as well. Carson Wentz busted big time. A lot of people started him, honestly. A lot of people were chasing the first 2 weeks. Yeah, didn't happen this week. Miles Sanders didn't do much. All the touchdowns just kind of went through the air early on. Miles Sanders is a very nice a buy low. He's disappointing people right now. Week one, great. He's been efficient. Rest of season, the Eagles have one of the easiest schedules in the NFL. Listen how he ends his season. Giants, Chicago, Dallas. I want that. And he is the running back one on this team. And he will have touchdowns vultured by Jalen Hurts, yes. And this is a pass-heavy team now. But I do think Miles Sanders will provide value and he should be traded for right now. Now, on Washington's side of the ball, McLaurin got back on track as the wide receiver one with nine targets, converted to 102 yards. Terry McLaurin, always good. Curtis Samuel, though, the third straight week of relevancy, 10 targets, again, 48 yards. This is not a flash in the pan. We've talked about when Curtis Samuel's healthy, he should be started. So that was encouraging to see. And then Antonio Gibson just didn't do much. Unproductive, inefficient. This offense was, he got game scripted out pretty early. All right, now let's talk about this Jaguars Chargers game. This is what everyone, I guess, on TikTok wants to see me say. I was wrong about Travis Etienne and James Robinson. And I was. Okay. I was wrong. For the fourth round, third round ADP, Travis Etienne, bad pick. James Robinson, I did not expect him to come back from this Achilles this well. Absolutely mind-blowing performance from James Robinson. Past 3 weeks, the fact that he looks this explosive, less than a year removed from that injury, insanity. And I am so happy for him because I like James Robinson. He was one of my favorite players when he was healthy. So I really am not mad about James Robinson being good. But I want to say I was wrong about Travis Etienne. Get that out of the way so that now we can discuss this backfield and Travis Etienne and James Robinson without every single person in the comments saying, oh, say you're wrong. Okay, I was wrong. Now let's discuss this. Let's shift from preseason expectations, let's shift and now talk about where we are end of week three. What do we think about this running back backfield? Because removing everything I said about Travis Etienne preseason, this is one of the more interesting backfields in the NFL right now. And how it's going to play out, I don't know. I don't know. But I want parts of it. Look, Jacksonville looks like a good team. Trevor Lawrence is throwing the ball well. Jacksonville looks like a legitimate good team. They get a massive test against Philly, but then they get Houston, Indy, Giants, Denver, Vegas. Good matchups. And one of the reasons I liked Etienne was because I thought there would be a lot of this garbage time. That's not been the case whatsoever. So we're missed on that. We missed on that. But there's a misconception. This isn't, Etienne is not a handcuff. Etienne is not a backup. Robinson is the one. I think Etienne could become the 1B. I think this is a very similar situation to Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt. I think that's how this will end up being. I mean, ETN for a handcuff, a backup, whatever, 75 yards on 16 touches, that isn't backup production. That isn't backup involvement. That is, they want to run with two running backs. Right now, James Robinson is the more efficient, better running back right now. I'm not saying he won't be. But they do want to get ETN more and more involved. 4 carries, 9 carries, 13 carries. They're getting ETN more involved, and he's producing pretty well. Nothing crazy yet, but he's producing pretty well. I think that you should be buying low on ETN right now, because I think a lot of people think this Jacksonville team is kind of a couple fluky games. But I'm thinking now, Jacksonville might be a good team, and I think there might be enough production and points. It's a run-heavy team with Doug Peterson that Robinson can continue doing what he's doing, and ETN can score 15 points a week. I think that that world exists. Now, if you do think Jacksonville is a fluke and they're going to go back to sucking in a couple weeks, then you should be very high on ETN because of that garbage time that we talked about. But that's not what I think anymore. I'll admit I was wrong. James Robinson is back. He's back and he's good. I was wrong about this team being bad. They're good. So moving forward, how do we evaluate this backfield? I think James Robinson can still be a top option. He's the number two running back right now. And I think ETN can work his way into a very solid, startable option, especially with the favorable matchups coming up. Houston and Indy and Giants and Denver coming up. Kansas City, Baltimore, Detroit, Tennessee, Jets, Houston to finish the season, Dallas. I like both of these guys a lot. Who has the edge? Obviously, James Robinson, as long as nothing happens with the Achilles. But Travis Etienne, the expectations were so high, especially by people like me, that now he's busting. People are sick of him. People want to drop him. Capitalize on that. Capitalize on that. Because this is a team that wants to use both of them. He's not a backup. 16 touches for 75 yards is not backup production. But at the same time, just know, unless something with the injury happens, James Robinson is also going to be a great option. So it's a very interesting situation in this backfield. And I want to just, okay, I was wrong. So we can move forward talking about what's actually happening and no longer my preseason prediction. I was wrong. I'll admit it. I was wrong. But now let's start addressing what to do with this backfield. Because this is a gold mine, I think. I think this Jacksonville team is a gold mine. We talked about Christian Kirk a lot in the offseason. He was one of my favorite receivers. Starting off the season high, wide receiver 6. I think Christian Kirk can finish as a top 10 guy. But that's not where people are pricing him. That's not where people are pricing him. That's where Jacksonville priced him when they paid him all that money. They made him the wide receiver 1. So go buy Christian Kirk. Let someone think they're selling him high. Let someone think they're selling Christian Kirk high. No, the expectations were low. He's having this great game. People haven't actually realized, okay, maybe he's a good wide receiver on a lot better of an offense. I think he is. I like Christian Kirk rest of season. Zay Jones, I'm not chasing those points, but he is definitely someone who should be rostered. But that this Jacksonville team is very interesting. Very interesting. Austin Eckler, woo, on the other side of the ball, a nice 5 yards. Through the first 3 weeks, he has 80 rushing yards. Where's my panic button? Is this the panic sound? I think I got it right this time. Yep. It might be time to panic on Austin Eckler. He's not been efficient. 2.5 yards a carry, 2.7 yards a carry, 1.25 yards a carry. He's involved as a pass catcher, but that's it. Now the matchups get good. Houston, Cleveland, Denver, Seattle. That's juicy. But he doesn't look the same right now. He really doesn't. And it's a little worrisome because Sony Michel is getting the ball a lot more than people wanted. And I just don't think that Eckler is going to be what you drafted him to be. So I'm worried. Mike Williams did what he always does. Nothing, which means next week he'll go insane. That's just how Mike Williams is. All right, a few more games to talk about. Rams, Arizona, Kyler Murray and Stafford both busted. Kyler Murray, not a great start to the fantasy season. Nothing crazy. I mean, 20 points, 25, 12, it's a little disappointing. Matthew Stafford, same way. Very disappointing, actually. That shoulder, I think, is not 100%. Kupp was able to manage a good game because he got that touchdown. But, 44 yards. I don't think Stafford's shoulder is right. Cam Akers had the best game he's had in a long time. 12 carries for 61 yards and a touchdown. I'm not chasing those points, but it's something to monitor. James Conner played injured, didn't do anything. No one did anything except for Marquise Hollywood Brown, who had 140 stinking yards on 17 targets. He is a must-start rest of the season, I think. We'll see what happens when Hopkins comes back. But 6 targets week 1, 11, and then 17 targets. Kyler just overthrew him on a 70-yard touchdown, too. Just overthrew him. But, man, he's seen a lot of volume, and he's still a good wide receiver. So I love Hollywood Brown. This isn't shocking. He was profit approved. I'm actually giving away 2 Marquise Hollywood Brown rookie cards autographed with a diamond in it as a Prize Picks giveaway. So download Prize Picks using that code PROFIT. But Marquise Hollywood Brown, absolute beast. And we also need to talk about Dortch. Greg Dortch is having a really nice start to the season. I'm starting to think this isn't a coincidence. 9 targets, 4 targets, 10 targets, 80 yards this week. I think he's a flex. I think he's a flex right now. And it's just weird, but he's the only other receiving option on this team that doesn't suck. Atlanta, Seattle, both quarterbacks didn't do much. Cordarrelle Patterson had a big game. They just need to keep giving him the ball. He's the best. He's so good. He's really good. He was a steal this draft, it looks like, but only started in 70% leagues. If you got Patterson, you got to be starting him. Great game. Rashad Penny, I'm going to say it. The Rashad Penny is the best running back in the NFL narrative is one of the weirdest things that was on TikTok this offseason. I mean, I don't know. I didn't understand that ever because he had 3 really good games at the end of the season. I mean, he looks fine, but I don't know. It is what it is. 7 points. You shouldn't be starting Penny. Same with Walker. Metcalf had a good game. Sell high, everyone. Go sell high now. Maybe hold on to Detroit. He might get another touchdown, but in general, I am selling high on DK Metcalf and Lockett. I don't really want much of this offense. Drake London in a down game still had 14 points. I think he is the real deal. He's a flex option every week. Kyle Pitts shows signs of life. 87 yards, did not find the end zone. It's hard to be disappointed since the past few weeks he put up 3, but 13 points from Kyle Pitts, that's still not what you drafted him to be doing. So that's just, once again, disappointing. Then one of the last games we got, Green Bay and Tampa Bay, both quarterbacks didn't do too much. Running backs did nothing. Wide receivers were the only kind of nice spot, and it was a little weird. Romeo Doubs, 8 of 8 for 73 and a touchdown, and Alan Lazard, 45 for a touchdown on 6 targets. Who will come out as the wide receiver 1 is something we need to be monitoring so closely. I still think it will be Doubs, or I still think it will be Lazard, once he's playing fully healthy. But it could be Doubs. Whoever it's going to be is going to have a great rest of season. But I am trying to buy stock in Lazard, especially right now. Doubs' stock has gone through the roof. He's expensive. But Lazard, he's getting healthier and healthier. And Giants, Jets, Washington coming up. Buffalo will be high scoring. Detroit, Dallas. If he's the one, he's going to have an absolute tear. Doubs could be the one, and he's got that same schedule. So hold on to him. He's on waivers. Get him. Then Russell Gage came through in a big way, 12 catches for 87 yards and a touchdown. He was the only healthy wide receiver. I don't expect him to continue doing that once Evans is back. And then the running backs, genuinely don't really know what to say. It was just a really bad game. It was just a really bad game. I'm not freaking out. It was just a really bad game. AJ Dillon shouldn't be started right now. And Aaron Jones, start, but say your prayers. San Francisco, Denver. This was one of the worst games I have ever seen in my life. In fact, I don't have much to say. It was just horrible. It was just horrible. Melvin Gordon, go away. Go away, Melvin Gordon. 2.7 yards a carry. You fumbled the ball twice and then were given the goal line touches. What? What is Mike Boone? What is he doing on the field? I want Nathaniel Hackett to get fired tomorrow. Tomorrow. He's not a good coach. This offense should be so good. But I will say we can't blame it all on Hackett. Russell Wilson looks like garbage. I don't know what happened to him. The one bright spot week in, week out is Cortland Sutton. 17 points. And honestly, I am very high on him because he is doing really well and hasn't caught a touchdown yet. 97 yards. He's doing it just on pure volume and yards. So when you're seeing this type of production without touchdowns, it's something you want to buy in on. I am buying Sutton in leagues where I can. He hasn't blown up yet, but he is the wide receiver one. I think this offense will get better. I don't think it will stay like this full season, but wow, is it frustrating. Jimmy Garoppolo. Wow, you're bad. You're bad. That was a rough game. Jeff Wilson, productive, but I mean, there's nothing good on this. There's no bright spot. This was just a really gross game. I guess one bright spot Brandon Ayuk got the ball for once. Got a touchdown. That was nice. But I don't really want to buy in with Jimmy G as quarterback. Man, this was just a disappointing. There were a lot of bad games this week. I mean, Pittsburgh-Cleveland was hardly watchable. Carolina-New Orleans wasn't watchable. Chicago-Houston wasn't watchable. Really, the Baltimore-New England game and the Jacksonville Chargers game was interesting, but it's not the best week of football. A pretty low-scoring week, too, for fantasy. But yeah, those are my thoughts on week three. I'm glad we talked through that, got in the right headspace for moving on to week four and addressed the Travis Etienne situation and what we think about that. So it was a productive podcast, but yeah, this week was just not good. This week wasn't very good. I think week four will be a lot better. But the bright spot of the week was definitely Chris Olave. All right, everyone, thanks so much for listening, and I will see you all next time.